Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. The Premier League title race is well and truly on after Liverpool closed the gap to just 1 point behind Man City following their victory at the Emirates over Arsenal. Everton's much-needed 3 points against Newcastle despite going down to 10 men. What a game that was. Man United eliminated from the Champions League by Atletico Madrid. Christian Pulisic's goal sealing a place for Chelsea in the quarterfinals, and Harry Kane breaking a new record in Spurs' win over Brighton. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode. All right, Rob. Lots of stuff going on as normal midweek. At this time of year, like knockout competitions, rearranged fixtures, of course, in the Premier League. For all the kind of COVID postponements earlier in the season. But let's start with big game. Litmus test for both Arsenal and Liverpool. Yeah. Liverpool come out top, Rob, at the Emirates 2-0. Mm-hmm. Second half goals from Diogo Jota and Roberto Firmino on a substitute in the second half. Gets the job done. Gets cracking. What do you want to start with?
Wow, what do I want to start with? What I want to start with first, Rob, was the atmosphere at the Emirates. That's what I want to start with. It was buzzing. It was like the good old days were back at Arsenal. The players, I thought, particularly in the first half, took some of that and used it on the pitch. Their energy, their intensity, their game plan, their strategy of how they played. We talked about, you can start to see those patterns. I thought the first half was much of that. I've got to be honest, Rob, I thought for the first half, there were a handful for Liverpool team that didn't quite get going, that weren't at their very best, but a lot of credit has to go to Arsenal. And to that point, Rob, Arsenal fans probably came away disappointed having had so much play, didn't take chances, and we'll talk about those things. But I just thought for 45 minutes, Arsenal fans had a glimpse of what the future could look like. Now, I looked at the two things. Jurgen Klopp, I think he's 6 to 7 years in now. Mikel Arteta's 1 to 2 years in now. What are Arsenal going to look like in 4 or 5 years with the right support, with the right investment? And if this guy continues to develop this team with the quality that we've seen, I just thought, despite the disappointment of the result, it was a good day for Arsenal.
I couldn't agree more, Rob. You know, when we make our notes on these games, I've got more notes about Arsenal. I've got more notes. Yeah. You know, I thought first half, to kind of echo your point a little bit, obviously, you know, we have a similar thought on this game.
Yeah.
That was legit. They were a better team for 45 minutes. And I know they're at home, but the whole vibe, the whole feel around the team, the atmosphere, Rob, it's different now. It's so different. I mean, they have to be the most improved team of this Premier League season. And they were the better team in the first half. They're grooved, they're organised, they're confident, they're competitive. You know, so different to what we see a long time ago. You know, and I go back to the thing we've probably mentioned before, the two people that were brought in by the owners here, the Cronkies and the football club, Edu and Arteta, the two main positions. And I want to retouch on that, Rob, when we talk Man United a little later, of the two positions that are so important. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about owners, Rob, a lot of talk about the Cronkies when things weren't going well. But if you hire the correct people, the best in class, or whatever you can get for those sporting director and the head coach, you've got a chance. And you're right, Rob. I mean, with more time, you know, maybe some additions in the market, it's hard to beat in the top four and challenge the very best at Liverpool's, you know, one of course, the very best. It's hard to compete. So they're going to have to try and move forward. They're going to have to try and bring in more players. But absolutely, it's a time to sort of, like, particularly the first half. We'll talk about the second half, Rob. It's almost like two separate narratives, really. Yeah. But that first half game, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking, two good teams. Two good sides in
possession. Absolutely.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot created, but gave as good as they got and looked better. And Klopp's gone crazy on the sideline. Obviously, he made the adjustments at half-time. But that first half, it was like going back many years, Rob, about a competitive...
Felt a buzz, didn't it?
Aggressive, creative.
Just on that, Rob, and I wanted to make the point of... Just, do you remember we were working on first game of the season? Brentford and Arsenal. That Arsenal, no intensity, no drive, lacking responsibility, no real pattern of play. And, you know, if you think from that day to where they were, and for 45 minutes, as you say, I thought they were the better team. I thought they were a better team. That's progress right there.
Well, the front three were quiet, Rob, and that moves us on to the and onto the second half. And obviously, Klopp is special. I mean, you know, we've seen this many times now where he's made adjustments, he's revved them up. I'm sure it's most of this. 15
minutes of half time is that experience right there, isn't it?
Yeah, and the penetration, the intensity and the penetration was better for them. Straight away looking for those through balls in between defenders that we didn't really see in the first half. I mean, it's been a tremendous team talk from him. There was a big chance, wasn't it? Martin Odegaard chance.
Both chances with both goalkeepers, Rob. I wanted to touch on this point. I'm glad you managed. Thiago plays a ball back towards his goal, gets nicked. I think it was Lacazette who sets up Odegaard, and Alisson comes up with a really big save that goes over the top. About 2 or 3 minutes later, Thiago plays one straight into Diogo Jota, who runs from an angle and beats Aaron Ramsey in a place I didn't like. As great as he's been, I thought that was a goalkeeper error.
Yeah. Just back on the goalies, Rob. And I pointed this out before on one of our shows about Alisson's ability to move his feet laterally.
Yeah.
I mean, it was another example. I mean, he is
like
so
on his
good.
Haunches, isn't he? On his haunches.
Yeah, but he stays on his feet. So he gets his feet moving. He goes to the one side. He then gets back to the other side and makes the reflex save. It bounces off his arm and goes over the top.
Yeah.
I don't think many goalkeepers can do that, Rob. Move so quickly, laterally, in response to a forward making those moves. So I thought it was a brilliant save because of that. And I think people... I urge fans to go back and take a look at that in his feet. And I don't think I've seen another goalkeeper for a long time be so good at moving his feet when the player tried to take it around him. But anyway, I just want to make that point. It was excellent. And you're right, the near post goal, with all that Aaron Ramsdale's done, you expect him to get that. I just thought Liverpool, Rob, they turned up the gas a little bit.
Yeah.
Of course, they got the subs. Jota scores and comes off, and Firmino comes on and scores the second goal. I just thought if I was on the show, Rob, or previewing this game, I would have said, interesting game, massive improvement for Arsenal, but I think Liverpool will just have a little bit too much power for Arsenal. And I would have been wrong in the first half. I thought we saw it. The extra intensity, the power, that desire, and they found a way to get past Arsenal.
Yeah, that was my point, really, of the second half. They did find a way. They had more power. They had the goals. There was a couple of things that stood out to me. The substitution that he made, was going to make 1-0. He takes the two off. The two come on. It's down to the guy again. And he's obviously slivers of genius in the way that he does things, and they tend to work out. But there was part of me that thought, Rob, what Jurgen Klopp has built is a robust, can do different kind of things to win.
That
was the thing that stood out to me. So, you know, we can play football and beat you 5-0. We can go intense toe-to-toe and play manic football, like the City level, and we see that game. We see a game where they suffered another clean sheet, despite whatever we say.
Mm.
They get the win. They've got forwards who can get them goals. And I thought it was a great example, Rob. And again, not a headline maker this year, more of a, is he really back in their best three forwards? Bobby Firmino. Bobby. Comes on, controls the ball, slightly miscontrols the ball. His reaction to win it back, Rob, in the penalty area is like top draw. He's one of the best attacking defenders we've seen. And then his positional play, as that play continues, as the ball goes wide, Andy Robertson wins it back from Saka. They keep the pressure on. He comes across the line. He tiptoes his way between Gabriel. He shows him, picks one side, goes the other, and scores the goal. That sums up Bobby Firmino. That sums up Liverpool. The craft in the 18-yard box to tiptoe his way to get the goal, but the intensity and the drive to go and win a ball back that started. That's what Liverpool have got.
And the key, the most important thing is the manager understands, I think, when to use him, Rob. When to use him. The subs in this game, you know, it was old for new. Salah and Firmino on for Jota and Luis Diaz. I think Klopp's got a great sense of when to use that new energy. But maybe in certain moments, Rob, with experience and that know-how, at certain times, he's going to go back to Firmino. So, of course, we've talked many times about the new options now with Jota and Firmino. But at certain times, you want to go back to the tried and tested front three that, of course, served Liverpool so well. So I just thought Liverpool jumped on the mistakes that Arsenal made in that second half. And, you know, that ended up being the difference. Just thinking ahead, Robin, you know, we've talked about how Arsenal have come such a distance so far, you know, even this one season.
Yeah.
What is it? I mean, by the way, I love the way they're playing now. Just side note, a little tiny tactical note that you know that I love all that, Rob. I mean, without the ball, they're a different system. They're four, two backs, four, and then pretty much two. Odegaard. So that's their one shape. And then when they have the ball, I love to do this on the line.
Yeah, we'll go on tactics
next time we're on the show.
Yeah.
And then when they have the ball, it kind of turns into this diamond where they go from they kind of change into three a little bit, like as it drops. And Xhaka goes one way.
Xhaka goes one side.
It's kind of unusual. And I'm only saying it because it's kind of unusual. Yeah. But they're really grooved in it now, and it works pretty well. And
Everybody's comfortable.
Everyone's comfortable in what they're doing, both with and without the ball.
Yeah.
What areas do they need to improve? I mean, it's going to take time, by the way, maybe money, but what areas could they get better?
Take Diogo Jota, stick him in the top of Arsenal's team. Boom, we're flying. Yeah. Lovely striker. Player, gets goals, can head, can score, can join in. A better version of Lacazette. I thought Thomas Partey is coming into the form that we thought, looking more like the player. Granit Xhaka will be divisive. I still think he has a role to play, Rob. There's something about him.
Couldn't that be a spot
that
where
could
they
be an improvement? If we're talking about where improvement, that could be an upgrade. Tomiyasu, we've seen. Cedric's done a decent job. Tierney. I mean, at some point, I like the White and Gabriel at the moment. But you know, if we're talking that very next level,
got to grow. They've got to grow, haven't they? I agree.
And I think Arteta is going to give them the time to grow. So maybe even a young one or somebody who can back them up before, you know, as you see, like with the Chelsea's of the world, where they've got a couple of young players, they've got some experience. Maybe, you know, what Liverpool have done over the last 2 or 3 years, Rob, is bulk that squad out. You know, and that might be part of what Mikel Arteta is going to have to do, bulk his squad out now. He's pretty bare, really, when you think what they've done with loans and people selling and get people out of the football club. Yeah. So, you know, the right ones at the right time with the right profile that builds that squad. And like I said, I think we talked about it, may still be part of that in terms of numbers, but I'm not sure as the main nine, is he going to get enough goals? Is he going to be quite at the level you want if we're talking about getting towards the top of the table?
Just the last thing I'll say on Arsenal, and I agree with some of that. I think a number eight, a box-to-box midfield player with an eye for goal that can play a little bit would be good. I mean, the best thing about Arsenal really is these young players. You know, Martinelli, Smith Rowe, Odegaard, and Bukayo Saka, Rob. I mean, young, creative talent that are learning and growing every minute they play in the Premier League. And they've had a whole season of being used to playing at the Emirates with the intensity and the way that... It's just,
didn't look phased, did he, anymore? Don't look phased. Martinelli looked like he was enjoying running at Trent as much as Jurgen Klopp can tell me about Trent defending. Martinelli was, you know, gave him plenty of problems with his movement and that. So, yeah. Defeat for Arsenal, but plenty to take away from that. Liverpool closed the gap to a point. And that was courtesy of a 0-0 draw at Crystal Palace. That was Manchester City going to Selhurst Park. And it was a day, Rob, when I'm sure the media were going, was it a day you didn't have a number nine, Pep? Is this a day the false? I mean, everybody will go to that narrative. Listen, I wrote down, this is the question they're going to ask on 2 or 3 occasions, because of the other 35 games that they've played, it doesn't count. Is it as simple as it being a centre-forward? Did he create enough chances, Rob, to have done it? Bernardo Silva, in particular, I thought was a good chance. He had two good chances, really. The one that he doesn't connect, the one he tries to go past the goalie. A few bad decisions from City in the last third maybe cost them.
Listen, they had a couple of brilliant chances, Rob. And sometimes, you know, away games, Palace are a different team. They're a different animal. I mean, they're so confident and they've got, you know, a bit of swagger at home. The fans are believing in the team. They were a tough nut to crack. But I thought the Bernardo Silva first chance where he's popped out from the goalkeeper.
Just
got to be a little bit too cute. The second one maybe is a little harder. Listen, I'm the one, my friend, that said at the start of the season that they, and by the way, I am not, hear me out, I said that centre forward might end up costing the team the title because they might struggle to score. I've been proved wrong. I'm not going to jump on that in this game, Rob. Yeah. They've scored so many goals. They look so good. The team is set up in a different way that utilises midfield players to get forward and score goals. They figured that out. This wasn't about that. I ain't going to jump back on, oh, I told you. No, because they've done it and they've scored a ton of goals. This was what, and they created chances to win the game. And people will jump on it to the chagrin, I'm sure, of Pep Guardiola. The team has been brilliant this year without a number nine. It's just one of those days where they had a couple of great chances, didn't take them. It's 0-0. They dropped points. Liverpool now, with the victory we just talked about, Rob, are 1 point behind. Obviously, we've got a brilliant, brilliant championship race. Yeah. Marvellous. What we all wanted a long time ago.
This game, in April 9th or 10th, whichever one it ends up being, could be all it, Rob, the way they're going, because both of them ain't going to drop too many more points. We know that City ain't going to go on a particularly poor run. I mean, the stats back you up as well. I was looking at the game, 19 shots for Man City, 7 shots for Palace, 14 of those from open play. So they've dominated the ball. They've had the chances. They haven't took them. Yeah. Just a couple of points of interest. Obviously, things tighten up, whether mentally it will have any effect on this City group. Listen, they've won titles. They've won back-to-back titles. The other thought was, Rob, and it's coming out of Germany and places, that Erling Haaland has decided where he wants to end up. Could that be the blue of Man City? Could he be guy?
Could be. Yeah. I mean, listen, it's a whole podcast, mate, about the money that Man City spend and get away with spending. I mean, they didn't get Kane. I mean, the amount of money they've been challenged twice on financial fair play, and they've got through, and there was kind of minor things they did wrong, but they weren't. I'm astonished they can keep spending crazy amounts of money, Rob. And I know there's a buyout clause, and maybe it wouldn't be as much as you'd expect. That's the reports we heard. I mean, I thought something about Man United the other day. I mean, until it happens, I think it's going to be everybody's interest, Rob, to tell. To explain or to make his decision, so his club knows. I mean that sounds like it's. I thought it was between Man City and Real Madrid. Kylian Mbappe, of course, is probably going to be their number one target if they get Mbappe. Yeah. Then probably, I'm sure they can't afford to bring in Erling Haaland as well. So that would be scary for the rest of the league. I mean, he's going to and hit the ground running and banging loads of goals like he does in the Bundesliga. Nothing can be taken for granted straight away. But no, it's a story that we should mention. And that would be
between now and the end of the season. But we have a title race, my friend. I don't think at one time we thought we would, but this one looks like it could go right down to the wire. Let's move it to a team who were under pressure, mate. 4 straight defeats, terrible run of form. Everton at home to Newcastle. Newcastle going in the opposite direction under Eddie Howe. Frank, under some spotlight and some pressure to get a result. And his team did, mate. There was 10 men on the pitch. They had a crowd behind them like noise. I've not heard it good as him for some time. An atmosphere that was electric and a great late goal from Alex Iwobi. Now, his team goal that just at times, Rob, you go, this Premier League, you just never know, do you? You just never know.
God. I have no idea where to start with it, apart from saying that it's probably the most ugly of ugly wins that you're ever going to see in a game of football. Everton fans...
Beautifully ugly.
Everton fans, of course, would be jumping for joy as they were. I'll go back to the fans as well, Rob. I mean, talk about a 12th man. Talk about a team that's desperate.
11th man could be down to 10 at that time.
I mean, a fan that you looked around, everybody stood up, everybody's screaming the team. I mean, they're literally trying to help them over the line and do everything for them. It is rare that you see that amount of... I guess it was all wrapped up with anxiety, with support, with desperation. There was a desperation about it. And absolutely right. Absolutely right. They had to play with desperation. I thought Everton were awful. First half, Rob. Awful. Did nothing.
I hear you, Musty. And I don't disagree that they weren't great. Newcastle dominated their possession. Had good runners going from the field, creating chances, getting them behind. I get that. But there was a nervousness around the players. There's an anxiety that happens. And I think when you're down there, you can't just put in a great form. It doesn't just drop off you in your play. I thought it was a day for Frank and his group of players to make sure all the basics were done as best you can. Defend, pick up the corners, make no mistake. I've been in that situation in my career before, Rob, where I've gone, maybe on TV, it's not going to be very good to watch, so I'll tell you that now, but we ain't going to lose today. And if it ends up 0-0, we take a point, we have a base to go from, and we start building from there. I just felt it was one of them days for Everton. It was more about putting the brakes on somewhere and giving this thing a chance to turn itself round than it was having a great performance. Because I just don't think your form changes that easily. I just don't think the atmosphere around the football club in the manner that Everton have been was going to be that way. So they had to hang in a little bit in the first half. I kind of think that's okay, and I didn't mind it too much.
Yeah, I guess you said that the form doesn't turn around quickly. They've got to play better than that, Rob. They've got 25 points.
Yeah.
They're going to need another 9 points to stay up, probably. Maybe less if the other teams don't win, of course. But, like, 25 points isn't 30. They've got to play better than that.
Running, you've got to stop it before you can turn it round. You've got to stop it. And I just thought sometimes you just got to get a stop. Today was a stop for me. A 0-0 at worst gets me a point, stops a rot, and now I've got something to build on.
Yeah, I'll tell you what though, Rob. I'll tell you who I thought had a material impact. It was Anthony Gordon. Talk about a player that I thought elevated the whole place when the team was struggling for quality, struggling for any kind of rhythm with the ball. A couple of attempts that he had, a couple of runs that he had, some crosses that he had. I thought he was really important in terms of bringing the team back to be competitive. More huff and puff in the second half, created a lot more, had more opportunities in the final third to do something, and were looking better just before the main incident of the game, Rob, where Alan obviously makes a rash challenge. A referee gives a yellow card and VAR gets involved and thought it was a red. Pawson then goes to the side, he sees it again and thinks it's a red. So my opinion is, I thought the yellow was fine. It wasn't high on the leg. It wasn't with his studs up. Yes, it was excessive force. And yes, it was, he kind of left the ground, obviously, to lunge in. But I just thought it was the yellow side of a red, Rob, for me. And I think, you know, the reaction of people that we've seen and stuff, some think it was a reckless endangered the safety, and some don't. I think referees, Rob, when they first get a look at it, I mean, I think Pawson got a good look at it.
Yeah.
Feels like it was right. And I thought the yellow was fine. What do you think?
It was interesting, man. I agree. And sometimes you see them, Rob, and you see the speed and you see the trip and you see, and I think that's a bit naughty, but it's yellow. It's not a studs where it's gone through, or you can sometimes see a lunge or a bit more force going in. I didn't think it was that. Now, it was interesting because I heard on the one of the commentators said the referee's been asked to go over and look at it at real speed, which I thought was an interesting addition. Whether they thought it looked worse at real speed, because actually at real speed it looked more of a bit of a hard challenge, trippy thing. But the more you slow it down and freeze, and people saying, "Well, if his leg was down, he could have done," I get that and I get it. But there's a difference, Rob, and I just felt like you. It was more yellow. I thought he got it right. I was surprised that he was called over, and then when he went over, we don't know what conversation to go. We don't know what pressures they're on, but I didn't think it needed warranting upgrade.
Was it clear and obvious error, Rob? Was it clear and obvious?
Error? I mean, you've basically got what said. Have you realised you've missed this and he's caught him here or he's done that? Yes, it's not a great challenge. And listen, of course, in some circumstances, people can argue, well, it fits all this agenda of the recklessness, of the endangering the safety, et cetera, and the force. But come on, to me, it's a yellow card, Rob. And I thought the referee got it right.
It looks bad, right? And the cynical nature of it, it makes it look, what is it?
Even worse.
He's lunged in. Yeah, it looks poor. it's a terrible tackle that we don't really want to see in the game.
No.
That granted, but it was just kind of...
It was such a game, Rob, with such things at stake. You've got to be sure if you're giving him a red. You've got to be sure if you're upgrading, because that could have had a big impact on the outcome. And I'm sure maybe Newcastle fans would say, well, St. Maximin could have broke his leg, and that I get that. And I would, I'm one of the first to say I don't want to see tackles like that. But I didn't feel that this one was on the wrong side as the referee did. But all that said, Mr. Musto,
it didn't matter.
Your criticisms of maybe the team not playing very well, they almost found a little something as 10 men. The crowd got with them again, as you say, 11th man, maybe because they're down one. They kept going. It was a beautifully constructed goal. It's a lovely finish. And the scenes at the end, Rob, were, again, like hairs on the back of your neck stuff. I mean, they're saying they've got a new stadium. They won't need to take the roof off of days like that because they blew off. I mean, it was incredible again. Just seeing those Everton fans and guys hugging and people. I mean, sometimes we forget how big football is in people's lives. We work in it. We've been in it. We've been very fortunate. But the people who go turn up for Everton to get relegated.
I know. It's unthinkable. It is unthinkable. Yeah. And rightly so, they are incredibly worried and nervous about it. Rightly so, because they're still bang in trouble. But they're still in trouble. I mean, like you said, the momentum that should give them will obviously help.
Yeah.
I think on the game, Rob, when you see the scenes and what it meant to everybody, that's going to be a memorable game of football for Everton for many years to come. The one that the people will talk about it. Alex Iwobi, who hasn't always been the favourite player of that football club over the years, and his fee was high, and maybe he hasn't produced what was expected of him. But for him to go through and score that goal, I thought he froze a little bit. I thought his celebration was like, God, I don't know. I just thought he believed himself that he'd scored. But I just thought it was an incredibly memorable, powerful game of football. Ugly as anything, but who cares? They don't. Of course, they don't care right now.
And it gives the shots of Frank on the side of the pitch, and very calm, quite calculated guy, holds his emotions generally, and you know, this great player. I mean, that's probably as big a moment for him in his career. Some of these great goals and great moments he's had as a player at Chelsea, and what he did at Derby, and when he went back, that was huge for him today.
Hey, did I read that? Like, again, we're recording just after the game. I think he's broke his hand, by the way, in the celebration. I thought I read he's broke his hand, Frank Lampard, in the celebrating. So we'll get confirmation of that, maybe. And next time we see him at the weekend, he'll have a big old pop. But apparently he broke his hand in the celebration. So, yeah, I mean, well done, Everton. Well, find a way to win in an incredibly difficult. But I think, the memorable part will be, for me, the fans and the noise,
absolutely.
And the way they carry, they did their best.
They wouldn't allow them to not win, lose that game today. Yeah. It was almost like we're not allowing you to do that.
Yeah, superb. Yeah.
Let's move it to one of the big stories of the week, my friend. As ever, always in the news, Manchester United. Off the back of a 3-2 win against Spurs, Ronaldo doing Ronaldo things and getting a hat trick. The next big game in line then was Atletico Madrid drawing 1-1 from the first leg in the Champions League. Huge game. Only chance of silverware United's going to have. So, much hope that having got the goal away from home, Langer with the goal away from home, they could get the business done at Old Trafford, get themselves into quarterfinals and maybe start returning some of that glory. Didn't go to plan.
No, it didn't. I mean, I think, look at the start of the game, Rob. Bright, as we've seen many times.
Yeah.
Good atmosphere. Fans are
great. Atmosphere. Yeah.
It's a great start. It's a fast start. You know what Atletico Madrid are going to do. You know what they're going to do. Yeah. And they did it. Super organised, defensive, deep. Mm. And it just became a realisation that their attacks just fizzled out, Rob. Ronaldo was all over. He was played very wide. He kept pulling.
Yeah, on the left-hand side.
I guess to be on Stefan Savage, the former City centre-back, was on that side. But it's just, as the game wore on, you just, everything that people have been saying about Man United and the situation right now just came to kind of fruition.
Yeah.
attacking wise, not a great deal. Alanga had a couple of opportunities early.
Good save from O'Black, wasn't it? Well, hitting, but right place, right time, the goalie.
For the most part, the attacks fizzled out, and there wasn't a lot of quality in the final third. Pogba, of course, was on the bench. And everybody's like, not surprised, which is right. It's not a good Manchester United team. It all goes forward about who's the next manager, and Ralf Rangnick's apparently not going to have any say in the next manager, which is not a surprise. But the sad reaction feeling from myself, as many others I've read, this is just the way it is at United right now. And, you know, we all go back to the ownership and the directors and all that stuff. But that really is where you keep ending going back to. There might be moments of excitement or of quality, and this is looking better, and the team are looking more compact, and they're trying to win the ball back, and they're trying different systems, Rangnick, and he's trying his best to get, and all that, yeah. But I'm afraid there's certain days where, no, this is kind of where we're at. And I feel like Man United right now are at that point. They're struggling for a top four spot. They're out of European competition. They've got an interim manager that, you know, the club's talking about who finding the next manager, and Ralph's not been involved in that process. It's a mess, Rob, isn't it? It's a mess.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think at the weekend we were working, I said, four big days for United, and they played a Tottenham team that are not quite where Conte wants, but, you know, we've seen signs of what they can do. And I thought, Rob, as I was watching the game, we always try and make a few notes, I thought Atleti are a better version of Spurs. But maybe not quite as good an attack, but they can defend properly, Rob. They've got good numbers. They've got experience. They're deep. They know what they're doing. They're focused. They're men. They know how to play the game. All those things sort of nullified United's threat. And I thought this was like, and I'm probably echoing your point, it was like a realisation that Manchester United, Rob, are not feared in English football. So they're certainly, at the moment, not feared in your big European football. We're talking about quarterfinals now, the big competition. United are not feared anymore like these two. And I kind of, my headline was, mediocre Manchester. They're mediocre. It's got to mediocrity all over the football club. I'm going to go through the team, Rob, just very quickly. And the goalkeeper, as fairness, has been in decent form. You've got two average fullbacks, Rob. Not great defenders, not great going forward.
We've done this before, Rob, haven't we?
But we've got two midfield players who are decent, hard-working, holding midfield players, can't create. The only creative force is Bruno Fernandes in the team. You've got wide players, some of them young players, still learning the game now. But they haven't got no threat there, Rob. They can't get in behind. They're not great crosses of the ball. You've got a great goal-scoring Ronaldo who's going to have moments but can't be relied on. And the rest is no productivity. Your Rashfords and haven't delivered the goals. So it's a mediocre team. And with a mediocre team, I don't know why we keep expecting to think there'll be little peaks. But generally, you've got an interim manager who, in some respects, has been not set up for success. He's there as a bit of a, you know, all the noises coming out, all the talk about players, all the things about that. The whole football club, Rob, and off the back of it, there was two incidents that happened yesterday. We'll talk first about the Paul Pogba and his family, because this is important. And it's something that's happening too much in the game. While he was at the game, I think his wife was at the game, his children were sleeping and he got burgled. How people can know that the guy's doing his job and he's away from his home, his kids are... And he
so talked much about...
You don't even think about that. And then there was an incident, Rob, with Marcus Rashford, who's been one of their own, been at the football club since 7 years of age in the academy, not been having a good time of football, you know, to his words, not mine. But there was a little bit of criticism as he walked out after the game, and apparently he's had a little bit of confrontation with a fan, and he had to be stopped by security, and he said that, you know, it's not a good look on him, but he didn't abuse anyone, he didn't raise his middle finger. And it's kind of sort of symptomatic of the football club at the moment, Rob, that it's not quite right.
No, and just on that Rashford thing, Rob, I don't know whether you saw the video that actually former Arsenal striker Ian Wright put out, and there's bad language in it, but I'd urge people to go and look at it. If it's bad language in it, but Ian Wright's basically saying, you know, players get hammered, get abused. why should he have to come out and apologize? Like, you know, players get, you know, they have to be so squeaky clean in their reaction stuff, and they're human beings. And anyway, I thought it was a really powerful kind of clip from Ian Wright, who of course is a legend as a striker in the Premier League. Yeah. We both played against him, and he actually wrecked my shoulder, Ian Wright. But anyway, great guy, great broadcaster. I thought that was an interesting thing. Just back on, Rob. Remember I mentioned in the Arsenal chat about those two positions. Now, yeah. I'm not sure it's a great analogy, Rob, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. Arsenal were in a mess, and there was no trust in the Kroenkes as owners.
Yeah.
You know, similar situation now to Manchester United, right? Bad owner, well, whether he's, they spent a lot of money at the club, but fans don't particularly are enamored by the owners, the distance and the whatever. Mm-hmm. All I would say is, if you make the right hires in those two positions for Arsenal, and again, Arsenal aren't there yet. They're not kind of where they want to be. But I'm just trying to make an analogy of a team that was in a mess, like owners that were not trusted. They made two good hires, Edu and Mikel Arteta. And that's what you need on the football side. You need the two parts to get recruitment right, to coach right, and filter out the rubbish and things that you don't want. Bring in the good players, develop the young players. Those two positions. If Man United, and they've gone through tons of managers, Rob. So one side of it, some of those managers have been some that might have been the right on that side of it, the head coaching side. But the other side, the recruitment, the director of football, Ed Woodward, that side has not been there. So you've had some good managers. Unless you get two parts working together with the youth academy bringing new stuff as well, then it's possible. I'm saying it's possible, but you've got to make the right hires in those positions. Man United must have, you know, they should go for top in class in both director of football and the head coach. And it can work. And until you get both positions right, you're going to continue to have this little bit of a different manager. I mean, they're not all bad managers United have had over the last
United have got a bad structure is half the problem. So whoever goes in, the bad structure, and you say about those two guys, it's a good analogy, because also you've got to remember, you know, the similarities go back to both have come through the times with Sir Alex and Arsenal with Arsene, where that was the sweetest time in the club's history, and they've had that. And since then, no one can kind of find anything that's anywhere near. Now, what's really interesting with the Arteta one is, Rob, he's had to go through a little bit where there's people, oh, is he the right one? Oh, he doesn't look, oh, he's just right. But, you know, and you know, I wrote the same thing, that this doesn't change. The mediocrity doesn't change at United till they decide who's the guy. Who's the guy? And you say, who's the support and the structure behind him?
Yeah, and when you get the group inside, Rob.
Yeah, it's just as important. But when you get the guy, Rob, support him. First of all, be patient with him. Find some finance and let him build success. And that might not be 1 year. That might not be 2 years. Manchester United have got to start thinking in a five-year plan. Because, by the way, when you see Liverpool, when you see Manchester City, they're nowhere near. Nowhere near. They finished last season 12 points behind Man City, and people say, well, they were second. They were second by a country mile, and that gap's grown bigger since the start of this season.
You just mentioned the two clubs. Michael Edwards, Jurgen Klopp. Recruitment, coach. Yeah. Yeah. Chigi Begiristain from Barcelona, Pep Guardiola. So you got the football recruitment side and the manager. They've got their, and again, Arsenal look like they're going to finish top four. They've got a way to go, but they've found, for now anyway, two great people that's done good work. So until United get both bits, but they're two great examples, Rob. You just brought up Man City and Liverpool. Yeah. They've got brilliant coaches with brilliant recruitment. And unless two of them are in place, it's going to be difficult. But that was the kind of realization of that game.
Yeah.
That's where Man United are right now. And I'm sure it's incredibly frustrating for the fans of the club that just want them to be on the right path, Rob, with some excitement and some continuity. You know, it looks like Ralph Rangnick is going to get kicked to the side. He won't be consulted. I knew this was going to happen. I said at the start.
Yeah, absolutely. It was going to happen. Yeah. And there might be the slight worrying thing for United fans, or maybe there might be a few more dark days to come, Rob, before they get to the other side. But you say they're going to have to make some big calls. And I was thinking, this summer, this next appointment, Rob, is as big a decision as they've made in a long time. It is, mate. I'm telling you.
Well, Two sides, Rob. It's got to be the two sides of it. The two sides of it. There's no point in hiring a manager. Pochettino comes in.
I'm talking about the hires, plural, the hires, that is, whoever they are. But they're going to work together as a team. But I'm saying those people that come in, this has got to be the one that you go with now. Because we're talking 10 years since they last won. In another year, it's 10 years since they last won a title. Yeah. There's a group of kids who are growing up, have never seen United win a title. Don't know what we're talking about, this great team. Great team. And that's where they got to get to. But, you know, I'm afraid maybe a few more rainy days before the rainbow comes through for Man United. But as you say, got to make some big, tough decisions in the summer to get the manager and that recruitment side right if they're going to start challenging back to top four. Let's change our tune a little bit to Champions League. Let's just go to Chelsea. We're away at Lille. Looking to, I think, put off-field activity to one side and concentrate on the football, which Thomas Tuchel's done a really good job of doing. His team go to Lille and win 2-1. Pulisic gets a really nice goal. Lovely play and finishes across the goalkeeper. And Aspilicueta comes up with a second goal, the captain. I just think credit for, again, and we've talked a lot about Tuchel, but just this guy just continues to affect the football club in the best way that he can and keep everybody focused on the football, really, and they're into the quarterfinals.
Yeah. I mean, it's just good work. I mean, the atmosphere there was, you know, people like think whatever they will about Lille. It was pretty hot. You know, it was pretty hot. They scored a goal. And I like kind of Pulisic playing a little high. He was almost like a striker, Rob. It was like a second striker. Took his goal really, really well. He's really starting to bring the consistency that I've always talked about with him. We know he's capable of doing great moments. And we're seeing it quite regularly now where his end product's getting very good. I mean, since all this stuff happened at Chelsea, Rob, the team have been pretty good.
Yeah,
I mean, whatever.
Because they weren't in good form before, were they? It was a bit patchy.
No. And they found some good results. Maybe a little bit of, what's the galvan? Maybe they're a little bit galvanized from all the trouble that's going on. We know the manager's a really, really good, motivating guy.
It's that siege mentality thing, isn't it? Like, let's pull it all together and you know, stick to the football. Tuchel was talking, Rob, after it, and he just said, you know, I want us to become one of the feared teams in Europe. You know, he wants to build something that people go, oh, we don't want Chelsea in the quarterfinals. They are holders, obviously club winners as well. And, you know, I'm sure he's just going to keep his focus on the football and keep doing what he does with his team. And, you know, great respect for him and how he conducts himself and how he focuses on his football and manages to keep things going, because it must be difficult on a day-to-day basis just sort of being at Chelsea at the moment. All kind of talks
about... aren't we going to get some news? Like tomorrow's...
Friday was supposed to be the day of the proposals, and they talk about a joint consortium now going in together and putting money and... Gianluca Vialli's name has been mentioned, Sarko's name has been mentioned. So, yeah. We'll have to wait and see, obviously, how that all plays out. And obviously, the government will have a role in that. But Thomas Tuchel doing his job with the players on the pitch. So, that leaves us in Champions League, mate, quarterfinals.
Hang on a minute. There's one little thing to add. Chelsea have been good in cup competitions, but they face the big giant killers, Middlesbrough, on Saturday, FA Cup. Made that crazy.
You're talking Champions League quarterfinals, the big teams across Europe and Middlesbrough.
Well, it's a general Chelsea conversation. They've been pretty good, but they've got the biggest test they've got all season going to Middlesbrough. They've already beat
Spurs. Because you beat Man United, because you beat Spurs.
Right. So, like, it's another. They're not taking any fans. They have this, obviously, the crazy Chelsea statement about. Should there be a behind closed doors in sporting integrity, which got hammered down very quickly? So anyway, well done, Chelsea.
Steve Middlesbrough, let's talk about that. We'll have a chat about that on Sunday's podcast when we look back at a few of the FA Cup games, see if your Borough have made it through past the mighty Chelsea. Is it Riverside, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. No Chelsea fans.
I thought you'd been flying back for that one, mate, to make sure you...
Yeah, we owe Chelsea. Chelsea beat us. When I played, they beat us in the final.
That was the early goal when Lingy scored, didn't he? Mateo, really?
It was like 40-odd seconds or something. And they beat us the League Cup final after that. So, You know, I'm kind of rooting for Middlesbrough in this cup game of the weekend.
That's not like All right, mate, just a couple of other results. Yeah, Juventus got beat 3-0 by Villarreal. I assume I am is Villarreal. So they advanced 4-1 and aggregate into quarterfinals. And Ajax got beat 1-0 by Benfica, which meant Benfica advanced 3-2 on aggregate. So a couple of shocks there. So that leaves us Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City, Real Madrid, Bayern Munich, Benfica, Villarreal, and Atletico Madrid in the draw that I believe is, I think that's tomorrow as well, isn't it? I think there's a draw tomorrow, yeah.
I think it is.
Yeah. Final draw, yeah. So again, we'll maybe report on that on Sunday's podcast. A couple of other Premier League games, rearranged games this week. Harry Kane doing Harry Kane things, getting back to the goals. Becomes the all-time leader in away goals now. I think it's taken the record from Wayne Rooney. 95 goals in 130 matches, all-time Premier League leader in away goals. He's climbing that ladder, mate. I think he's now gone above Frank Lampard, fifth all-time. If he stays in England, he's got a chance, hasn't he? The 260 of Alan Shearer. I mean, five seasons of... 5 seasons.
I mean, if he stays in the league and he's playing for a good side, yeah, he's got a chance of it. I mean, it feels right, doesn't it, when you watch him play and the consistency and the type of goals that he scores. It feels right that he should be in the upper echelons now. And such a change to what we saw first of all with him under Nuno Espirito Santo as a coach, and after the you know, he wasn't allowed to go to Man City. I mean, I think everybody, us including Rob, thought that he'd get back to his best, and it did take a lot of time. But he really is
more time. Yeah.
He's in great shape now. Lovely finish with his left foot in that post, slots it away, and Spurs, you know, continue to kind of chisel away, try and hit that top four. They got a chance.
Yeah, there's not much between them and Arsenal now, who are probably the two favourites, I would think, maybe for that fourth spot. Just a couple of other mentions as well, mate. West Ham United in the Europa League have been a bit of a story this season. They've won 2-0 today against Sevilla, Souček and Yarmolenko. Again, sure emotional scenes but at the London Stadium, get themselves past Sevilla. You know how good they have been in this competition. Advanced 2-1 on aggregate into the quarter. So, you know, this. You know, many people saying, oh, West Ham in the Europa, oh, there's no way they can go long, the squad's not deep enough. But David Moyes just continues to be consistent, continues to show you what, you know, structure and a way of playing that suits your players. Great win, great to see them in that stage competition. And, you know, some good nights, some great European nights at London Stadium is what kind of builds that spirit that they maybe had from the Upton Park days.
Yeah, I remember I read a preview and basically saying that West Ham going away in Sevilla any low scoring defeat, they still fancy their chances back at London Stadium. Yeah. That's exactly how it panned out. I mean, Andrei Yarmolenko to score the winning goal late in the game, really late in the game, his thought was going to go to penalty kicks, is pretty amazing the impact that he's had, Rob, from not doing, not really being involved in the team a lot. He's always off the bench and you know, maybe that's a good way it's going to continue, but wow, for him to score again so soon after the one last time was pretty special. And well done. Europa League for West Ham. Why can't they go the whole way?
Absolutely. And just remember on Sunday, 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time on USA Network, Spurs versus West Ham. London Derby, two teams who have got a bit of history between themselves. So, interesting that one. Obviously, West Ham outside chances now at top four, but if they go and beat Spurs at the New Orleans Stadium, then anything's on. And you just never know with David Moyes' team, because he week on weekend, despite having played many of the same players, they continue to keep getting results. So, big game there on Sunday. And just a little note on the Europa Conference League. It was the competition that Brendan Rodgers didn't know that much about when he said he was in it, but they're taking it seriously. Bit of a story tonight. Wesley Fofana, who's back, Rob, after leg break, and then apparently had COVID a couple of weeks ago, so couldn't play, but scores a goal today and then runs off the length of the pitch, goes over to Brendan, gives him a big hug, and obviously, you know, just shows that relationship. And Brendan's talked about how important Fofana has been and what a miss he's been. So, just a little sign of maybe him coming back might just be a better end to the season for Leicester than we've seen for a while.
Yeah, I mean, Wesley Fofana back for Leicester is is a big deal. You know, I think it's the first match since May. I mean, you know, Leicester fans have had a nightmare with their centre-backs. Johnny Evans, I think, is still out. West Ham has been up such a long time. Quick, really good player. Yeah, and fair play to Leicester. You know, they progress to the next round. The winner of this competition does automatically qualify for the Europa League. And the season they're having domestically in the league, Leicester, that's a big deal. So, you know.
You've asked a few people, didn't you, at the weekend, which was a bit interesting. One, it was like the Tielemans, and one or two didn't start, did he? And he sort of said maybe, you know, he's decided to put his eggs in this basket.
Yeah, it's a way to go. And they've got a chance. They've got a chance of winning this competition.
Listen, mate, I've had enough of you on St. Patrick's Day, Thursday, March 17th. So, in a week when United bowl out of Europe, City draw a rare blank, and Liverpool take advantage to cut the lead to 1 point at the top of the table, and Everton stop the rotting, well, incredible scenes at Goodison Park with the Wobie getting a late goal and Everton getting all 3 points. We'll be back on Sunday, that's March the 20th, when we'll look back at some very important games in the Premier League. Spurs West Ham game, 12:30 PM Eastern Time on USA. And we'll look from the headlines from the FA Cup ties, where Robbie Musto's Middlesbrough are going to beat Chelsea and get themselves in the semi-finals of the FA Cup. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.